This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. You're chatting with Nicholas because Howard's in the bush. How are you doing and how is it going in Israel?
Nicholas, I wanted to just share a certain white elephant that currently exists in Israel, share it with the listeners and with you, and hopefully get a little bit of feedback and participation about this issue, which is, I think, quite an important issue. At the end of last week, it was announced that Prime Minister Netanyahu had suffered prostate cancer, that he had had treatment for the prostate cancer. He had some radiation treatment. And last week it was announced that he's in good health, that the treatment has worked, that he's clear of cancer, and all is currently good. The white elephant is that we were not advised of this in real time while the diagnosis had taken place when he was going through his treatment. No member of the public was made aware of this. And so the question arises as to whether that kind of behavior is okay. Because in our democracy, we do demand a certain level of transparency. And that really also involves the health and what the activities are of our elected leadership, in this case, Prime Minister Netanyahu. And the question is whether we as the public of Israel should have been advised of all of this that was going on. The timeline is really not that certain. I think it took place somewhere during the middle of last year. There are references to the Iranian war, which we know took place during June of last year. I don't think we're talking about the most current conflict. And the excuse or the reason that has been provided as to why the public were not advised of this is because it was considered to be detrimental to Israel's war effort. It was considered to be a potential weakness that could have been displayed in front of Israel's enemies and potentially therefore impacted on the way in which Israel was fighting the war. Is that valid? Is that a real proper reason why we shouldn't have been advised of the illness and the treatment? We're happy to hear that everything is now well and that the Prime Minister is in good health. But I guess the problem is that by withholding this information, it generates a certain level of uncertainty about whether we're really being given the proper story, the true story, and all of the information, or whether there isn't something that is still being withheld, because of course we are still at war, we are still fighting a war on a number of fronts. Is there something that is currently being withheld from us that is considered to be detrimental to Israel's war effort? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think also, I suppose the question is, what does it say about the government's willingness to trust the maturity, if I could use that word, of the people to deal with this information? And then if the information does come out as it has now, what does it do to the trust? And is that not more damaging to the sentiments towards the government and the support of the government?
It certainly damages the trust of people when you find out after the event that things have happened that we ought to have known about. But the government and the Prime Minister's office in particular is saying, if they would have come out and made this public that Israel's enemies, Iran in particular, because it's being presented as having occurred during the height of the Iran war, I'm guessing the one last year in June. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, does that piece of information made public and potentially in the hands of Israel's enemies, does that impact on our war effort? Does that make us look weaker? Does that make our enemy want to behave in a different way to try to destroy us because they sense a certain weakness in the leadership? That's the real question. I think the maturity of the general public is kind of, you know, taken as it is, whatever it might be. But I think the real question is, do we feel that that would have weakened our position against Iran, against Hezbollah, against the wars that we were fighting at that time? Is that enough of a reason to withhold this information? That's the real question. It seems, by the way, to pass under the radar relatively smoothly, but we do have an election coming up later this year. And so I just wonder to what extent that's going to be factored into the way that people vote.
I think it also, what message does it send to our enemies that we keep it quiet? Because it, does that mean that Bibi is the only one? You know, that is he everything in terms of the defense decisions, the processes, everything that's being followed by the military and the public? Does it all come down to Prime Minister Netanyahu? Does it not weaken the view of, you know, Israel is more than just an individual person?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation, and I guess that the listeners out there will all have their views.
Yeah.
And of course, whatever you think, we are very happy to hear.
That's it. Well, let us have your questions or your comments on this on 0618951019. I think, you know, the war has been going on for a substantial amount of time. I haven't been on either the morning show or the afternoon drive for nearly, I think, 2 or 3 years now, and not touching base with Israel. What is the sentiment on the ground? How are people coping with this extended conflict? How are you coping? How are the journalists coping with this continued reporting of attacks, of stress, of fight, of loss, and of challenge?
Well, I think there are a few different angles that we can look at this from. First of all, I think the Israeli public is generally war weary. I think we're tired. I think we would like to return back to a semblance of normality, to be able to conduct our lives without being concerned about when the next time is that we might have to run to our bomb shelters. Our fellow citizens in the north are going through a particularly torrid time at the moment. Many of them have moved out of the northern area in order to avoid the constant barrages of rockets and the constant running to the bomb shelters. I read today that some local authorities, in spite of the fact that the government has decided that everything is safe and that schools should operate as normal in northern Israel, some of the local authorities have today decided to close their schools because they feel it's not safe enough for children to go to school. So that gives you an idea of how things are being decided upon sort of on a daily basis. And we're currently awaiting what might come out of the next round of talks between the US and Iran, wondering whether we're going to have to go back to a more open conflict and whether we're going to come under barrages of rockets again, as we did a few weeks ago. Our reserve soldiers are exhausted. Many of them have served hundreds of days in the reserves over the last 2.5 years. They have given up jobs, they've given up families, they've given up lives that that have simply been all put aside in order to serve the safety of Israel. And in the process, that it creates a lot of damage. People run into financial difficulties, relationships with their families suffer as a result of people being away for extended periods of time. We need the manpower in order to keep going. So I think that we would welcome the opportunity to get back to peacetime activities and a regular kind of run where we are able to plan for the future. At the moment, for example, people who want to take vacation during the summer months, which are now on our doorstep, are unable to do so because we have no idea whether flights will have returned by then, whether we'll be able to get in and out of Israel relatively easily or not. So there's a lot of uncertainty associated with the situation. As far as reporting is concerned, and when I think about myself and the way that I think about trying to raise topics that I do every morning, and I am a little concerned that I might be repeating things and just going over the same old ground. We're talking about the Iran-Iranian peace talks with the US. We're talking about the war in Lebanon. We seem to talk about that every day because that's our reality. Does that become a little mundane? Does it become a little boring, a little repetitive? That's the problem when trying to keep things interesting. There is a lot of interesting things. There are a lot of interesting things that happen, but our lives are currently dominated by the war situation and, you know, trying to bring that across. So, you know, for example, today, President Trump has said that he's not very happy with the latest Iranian proposal, which covers only the issue of the Straits of Hormuz, doesn't seem to cover the nuclear issue, which is, of course, a major red line that President Trump has already indicated for Israel. That's a clearly a major red line. We've seen the Iranian foreign minister travel to Washington, to Russia yesterday. We wonder whether they were talking about the possibility of the enriched uranium being deposited in Russia somewhere. We know that that was one of the options that was on the table. We have no idea exactly what the discussions were in St. Petersburg yesterday. So all the while, this sort of lends to further uncertainty about what the next few days and what the next few weeks might bring us.
And I think to go back to the point and what you've just said now, it's the uncertainty and the repetition of the war with Iran, with Lebanon in the north. It's, you know, it's not where you say it's boring or potentially boring. I think that's a luxury of those not living in Israel. Those of us out in the diaspora have the luxury of being bored, but this is day-to-day life. And I think it's so important to continue the reporting so that people understand that this is going on. And if we in the diaspora are experiencing some level of fatigue because of the story being the same, we need to be sensitive, and I'm sure we are sensitive to what is happening within Israel and how that is affecting day-to-day life, because there's no aspect not being affected.
I absolutely agree. I mean, one of the interesting things for me that came out of the war in Lebanon yesterday was the fact that the Chief of General Staff stood up and made some comments about behavior that he feels was not becoming of IDF soldiers while on active duty in Lebanon. There are some reports that soldiers might have stolen goods that belonged to individuals within Lebanon while they were on active duty. And the Chief of General Staff has stood up publicly and he said, this is not okay. This does not represent the values of the IDF and of Israelis in general. And we will take action in order to deal with this. Now, everybody knows that in war, things happen and unpleasant things happen. We find it difficult to be able to control the behavior of tens of thousands of troops who are spread out within the territory of Lebanon. We know that they have to endure very, very poor behavior. They get treated very, very poorly by the local population. And it is unsurprising that some of those soldiers feel the need somehow to take out their frustrations and they might behave in a way which is not exactly in keeping with the IDF's principles and with their values. The Chief of General Staff has stood up to say, this guy's is really not okay. And in spite of the fact that we're fighting a war and we are under constant threat, our soldiers in Lebanon, even though there is a theoretical ceasefire in place, but the soldiers in Lebanon are continuously under threat. Even so, the values that the IDF brings are required to be upheld. There was a very fascinating story about the attack that a group of IDF soldiers came under the day before yesterday, which unfortunately killed one of our soldiers and injured six other soldiers. But what happened was that two rescue helicopters had been sent into Lebanon in order to pick up injured soldiers. And these helicopters came under fire from Hezbollah drones. Now, it's interesting that Hezbollah are currently using quite cheap drones, which are very effective explosive drones. We understand that they might have picked this up from Ukraine and the way that Ukraine is going about its business. But when I read the story about what exactly happened in Lebanon, the fact that three helicopters had been, initially two helicopters were deployed to pick up the injured soldiers. One helicopter was on the ground for 34 seconds.
Wow.
While they picked up the injured soldiers, took them away just before the Hezbollah drone exploded. The second helicopter was on the ground for 24 seconds until it took off without getting permission from the commander, because they felt that they were significantly under threat. And that helicopter took off very rapidly. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, a third helicopter was deployed to pick up the rest. But in the process, we unfortunately lost the life of one of our soldiers, and six others were injured by this drone. So that story is really like in the heat of the battle. The Air Force undertook an investigation into exactly what happened to make sure that everybody behaved according to protocol. I'm just sharing that with you because that's just another story from the front, from right within the war zone.
And this is, you know, what's being dealt with on a daily basis. It's going back. It's not just soldiers that are random soldiers. These are people in the community with families, with connections, with friends, and are going to have to carry this for the rest of their lives. This is something that one carries forever. Andy, just before we start to wrap up, from your side, what can those of us in the diaspora do to support Israel in any way?
Well, I think that the answer is that, you know, it's different for different people. Not everybody has the ability to come out and to be publicly identifying. But what I would say is that Israelis in general really appreciate whatever support we get from diaspora, whether it be Jews or non-Jews, people being willing to stand up and speak out and to bring the truth to be heard, rather than to have to endure the fake news or to highlight the negative stories. There are negative stories in every war. To the extent that people can highlight the more positive stories, the incredible behavior and bravery of our soldiers, the way that our IDF in general is trying to be as moral as possible, the fact that the chief of general staff is willing to stand up and castigate certain soldiers for behaving not according to the standards of the IDF. These are stories that unfortunately get buried, and it would be nice to have them a little bit more publicly known. So to the extent that people are able to do that and willing to do that without risking your own life in your own community, that is always appreciated. So perhaps think about that. Identifying with various events that take place, being part of the community, I think all of that makes a difference.
Absolutely phenomenal. Thank you for that. We really do appreciate that. Anthony Reich with the Israel Report, which is brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israeli Property Management and Sales.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands.